Let's recite the verse together, Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. Tremendous verse and promise, consolation. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He is from the beginning to the end. He is the first and the last. And He is going to have the final word in our lives. We greet you in His name. Thank you for coming. Thank you for praying that God again could show us something of His truth and word this evening. The title of the message this evening is Forgiveness. I believe it's something that is very important for us as Christians. And I want to look at this subject and hope that God can speak to us in a way that can meet our needs. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60. Acts chapter 7, verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In Luke 23, verse 33 to 34, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. This is the forgiveness that I want to talk about this evening. I'm talking about a forgiveness to somebody who has done wrong to me or to you, whether it was intentional or unintentional. The same forgiveness must come. These two accounts, the one account with Stephen, where that he was stoned because of manifesting truth. They took him outside and they stoned him. And he said, forgive them. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. How do you feel? How do I feel when someone has wronged us, has intentionally hurt us? Do we feel like saying those words? Don't keep him accountable, Lord. God, don't keep him accountable. If we voice those words or we say those words in our heart, do we mean it? Forgiveness means to give up resentment or claim of retaliation or to retaliate. It means to grant relief from payment. It means to cease to feel resentment against. This evening I'd like to talk about a forgiveness that every one of us must come from our hearts. Whether it was an intentional issue against us, or if it was unintentional, the same forgiveness must come. I'm not talking about a forgiveness that we hope to receive when we ask to be forgiven for something we have done wrong. All of us, when we have done wrong to someone and we ask for forgiveness, we like when they say, "I have forgiven you." I'm not talking about that forgiveness. I'm talking about the forgiveness that comes from my heart when someone has done me wrong, whether or not he asks for it or not. That's the forgiveness that I'd like to talk about this evening. You know, sometimes we can be very good Mennonites. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. I'm not talking about that either. And I know that sometimes there's that kind of a mentality that, well, I want to do something and I know that it's not good or it's against the church regulations, but for this one time I'm going to go ahead and do it, and if I get caught, I'll just ask for forgiveness. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes it is easier for us to forgive a thief who has stolen property, or has stolen some kind of an item or our wallet or something, than it is to forgive a person who has deliberately and intentionally spoken ill words about our reputation. Think about that. It's easier to lend forgiveness to someone who has taken something from us that we can get up in front of the church and say, "Well, the other Sunday the thieves came and they took away some of my property, but I have just forgiven that person." And it's somehow easier for us to say, "I have forgiven him. He can just stay with that property," than it is for our brother or sister who we know is spreading some kind of a statement or rumor about me that is not true, the same forgiveness must come. It's not real difficult to forgive someone of something done wrong to us if they acknowledge and confess their wrong. You know, sometimes we're just made up that way, that if someone has done wrong to me, we are expecting them to make a move to come back and to ask forgiveness before that we can really feel good about it. Are we together? You understand what I'm trying to say? It is important that we understand forgiveness from our heart, that it comes if there is no one who is going to come and seek forgiveness. What about when we think that someone has intentionally hurt us? What about when somebody speaks evil about us? Or what about when you have wronged someone and you repent and you confess to that person and you go back and he refuses to forgive you? I've been involved in situations where that I have tried to bring two people together to solve their issues, and one would repent of his wrongdoing to the other, and the other would not forgive. Very, very difficult. And the person who is seeking forgiveness for his wrongdoing immediately, he has to know or learn how to forgive the one who doesn't forgive. Very difficult. Sometimes we struggle the most with forgiving those who are the closest to us. It can be our companions, it can be our children, or it can be a close relative. We have a struggle to release forgiveness to those. Mark 11:25, it says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." The Lord's Prayer, in which we quote at times, it says, "Forgive me as I forgive my debtors." Do we realize the strength of that prayer? We're actually telling God that I want you to forgive me according to the measure that I forgive my brothers and sisters and my fellow man. If there is some unforgiving spirit in our heart, God knows it, and you know it, and if we're praying that God would give us the same measure of forgiveness, what have we just done? We simply have asked God not to forgive. Colossians 3 and verse 13, it says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, even so do ye." In Matthew 5 and verse 24, it says, "Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." When there is unforgiveness in our heart, we have a responsibility to be reconciled to our brother. In Luke 6 and verse 37, it says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven." Matthew 18, verse 21 and 23. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." I believe that forgiveness is a very key part of our Christian experience. Now, this evening, as we think of this, maybe you have been deeply hurt or wronged in the past. Maybe you have faced rejection or betrayal or have been mocked or have been verbally abused by a friend or someone. Maybe you're dealing with terminal illness and you feel bitter against God. Maybe you're dealing with attitudes and feelings against your brother or sister in the church. Maybe you feel rejection by your parents or family. Maybe there are broken relationships between you and someone else. Maybe there are issues that are lying underneath. Let me tell you that I can find nowhere in the scripture that you can justify an unforgiving spirit. The spirit, an unforgiving spirit, is going to divide friends. This spirit is going to cause bitterness, resentment, and hostility. This spirit affects every aspect of our life, both mentally and emotionally, physically and spiritually. an unforgiving spirit in our heart and our soul has destroyed many a strong person because of some unforgiveness in their heart. This spirit will often result in anger, in outbursts of anger. This spirit will cause to respond in an ungodly manner, in an unguarded moment. I remember some years ago, in talking with an older brother in a church, he seemed like he was one. He felt, at least it seemed, like he had everything together. He was a very righteous person. But it became evident that there were some things in his life that were not just so good. Some of the testimony in the community were not good. Some of the integrity matters in his business affairs were not good. And when he was approached about some of these issues, in an unguarded moment, he became unglued. There was something deeper inside his soul that was motivating and was controlling his manner. You see, when he came to church, everything he could control. But when that unguarded moment came, he caught himself almost as fast as it let loose. But it gave a window. There was a window. There was something underneath. There was some bitterness in his life. And it came out. This unforgiving spirit is going to build walls around us. This spirit can bring condemnation upon our own lives. And finally, the unforgiving spirit is going to bring God's judgment against our life. Here are a few quotes that I read from different men. Here is one by Chaplin. He says, "Never does the human soul appear so strong and noble as when it forgoes revenge and dares to forgive an injury." I'm going to repeat that. "Never does the human soul appear so strong and noble as when it forgoes revenge and dares to forgive an injury." It takes a man of God to do this. It takes a man of God to forego revenge when someone has done me wrong. Another quote by Johnson: "A wise man will make haste to forgive, because he knows the true value of time and will not suffer it to pass away in unnecessary pain." Unforgiveness often results in bitterness. Every aspect of our life is affected with an unforgiving spirit. There are many people in hospitals today who doctors cannot find any physical problem, and the underlying problem is an unforgiving spirit. Sometimes we hear the statement, when we ask, have you forgiven him? And he says, well, no, he didn't ask for forgiveness. Or we may say, he never confessed it. And so we hold him at arm's length because he never confessed. Have we forgiven? We need to forgive a person who has wronged us, whether he has done it intentionally or unintentionally. The same forgiveness must come. Sometimes when we have wronged someone and we feel his forgiveness toward us, we want to feel okay with it. This especially, I have dealt in many situations while living in Kenya. Somehow the people felt that if I have done someone wrong, and he has forgiven me, he's friendly to me, there's no problem between us. And so, matter fixed. Let me hasten to say, that when we dare to forgive someone who has done me wrong, that forgiveness that we release from our heart sets my spirit free. But it has nothing to do with his responsibility of the wrongdoing. And that is where we many times fail. We somehow think that if someone forgives me, if I have done someone wrong, and he forgave me, and I sense his forgiveness toward me, it makes me feel like everything is okay, and I can just leave it that way. If we want to be a recipient of forgiveness, we're going to have to repent of what we have done wrong. Otherwise, the person we have wronged, his spirit is set free because he has forgiven, but my heart is remaining with the problem. Some years ago, there was this Amish minister who went to a certain place because of some issues that they were working through in the church. And there were some young people of that church that despised this minister. And so while this minister was out trying to do his work and trying to mend relationships, and I don't know the details of that problem, there was this young man who went and he took stones and he put them in his buggy. He put stones into his buggy. And he left. When the minister was finished, he came outside and he went into his buggy and had all these stones in his buggy. And so he went and he, one by one, he took these and removed them. So he went on his way. And as he was going, I can imagine, he was wondering who did such a thing. And those kinds of things speak messages to us, don't they? That's very evident that somebody was having a problem with him. If someone would do that to my vehicle, it would somehow disturb me a bit. I wouldn't feel real good because I would feel like someone is having something against me. Well, this minister went on. And for years, he was willing to, he removed those stones from his buggy. And in about 20 years later, there was a man who came to him and he said, "You know, some years ago, do you remember of having stones in your buggy, in your carriage?" The minister thought, said, "Yeah, I do remember that." And he said, "Well, I'm here to confess that I am the man who put them there." The minister looked at him and he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "You know, I remember that occasion. I came out to my buggy and there were stones there. I went in and I just removed the stones. And I went my way. And I said, 'You have,' and he said, 'You have carried these stones in your heart for 20 years. You know, when we forgive from our heart, it sets our spirit free. But for the one who did the wrong, carried it in his heart for many, many years.'" Brothers and sisters, we don't have to carry these stones in our heart. We can be set free. That man was set free because he acknowledged his wrong. He confessed his wrong. When I forgive another who has wronged me, it sets my spirit free. That will not set free the one who has done the wrong. He is still responsible for his actions. Sometimes when we have wronged someone, and we're not willing to confess it or acknowledge it, even though that person may forgive us, we're still carrying that burden in our heart. Unforgiveness deprives us from relationships. It will deprive us from social relationships. It can deprive us from marriage relationships, church relationships, relationships among friends. Some people have an unforgiving spirit in their heart and do not even recognize that it's a spirit of unforgiving. If we're struggling with some kind of a heavy weight in our heart, we should seek the face of God to know what our problem is. Sometimes children carry bitterness against father or mother or brother or sister or some other family member, maybe because of something that has happened in childhood. And these things remain in our hearts for years. We need to find ways to be set free. Maybe someone has rejected us, or they have given us an attitude of ingratitude. Maybe someone has cheated us in the business world, or we have been treated unfairly. Maybe it's something between our husband and wife, or our friend has betrayed us. Maybe it's something that happened in our childhood. Unforgiveness would destroy our emotional base in our life. Every hurt or wrong we have or experience will result in an unforgiving spirit if it is not properly dealt with. In every situation, when someone has done me wrong, I come to a point of choice. Am I going to forgive or am I not going to forgive? And sometimes these things work very subtly in our life. I am convinced that we want to forgive. We want to release everybody who does anything against us. But let's search our heart. Have we released those who have done us wrong? When we do not feel like to forgive, can we forgive? I believe that forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is not based upon our feeling, but it's based upon our will. If we would entirely go by our feeling in whether or not we should forgive, I am the first to tell you there would be many that I could not forgive if I would do the way I feel. It is an act of our will to forgive someone. Every time someone does wrong to us, we need to forgive. I was in a congregation some years ago, and a brother came to me after the service, and he told me how that he had one of his fellow employees has done him wrong, and he struggled for a long time to forgive that person of what he has done. He didn't know what to do about it. It just troubled him because he was mistreated. I don't remember exactly the details of what happened, but he struggled to forgive that man for what he did. Till finally one day, he cried out to God and he asked God to help him to go back to that brother and open his heart, and he did. He told that brother, he said, you know, I have an unforgiving attitude or spirit in my heart toward you, and I just want to confess it. I want these things out. I want my life clean. From that point, things changed. He was willing to forego revenge, and he dared to forgive. Unforgiveness will result in anger, bitterness, resentment, hostility, lying, ingratitude, and the list could go on and on. When we face these problems in our life, there are generally two expressions or two responses that are going to happen when someone has done me wrong. When someone has mistreated me or has done something wrong to me, I will probably have one of two responses if I'm not going to forgive. One response is that, okay, I'm going to just hide it deep inside my emotions. I'm going to bury that thing. I'm not going to speak about it. The other response can be when he will have an outburst or he will blast out in anger. And in most cases, if not all, one of these two responses is going to happen in our spirit. Whether we are going to blast or we're going to bury. I have been involved in situations, and I'm sure many of you know what I'm talking about. We have experienced both sides of that response. I'd just like to say, brothers and sisters, in our culture, we probably tend to the burying more than we do the blasting. While I was in Kenya, there, when things didn't go right for people, they let themselves be heard. Somehow it was much easier to deal with those problems when they blasted than it is when someone is burying their feeling. I remember one Sunday morning on a communion morning, there were some issues in the church. We tried to work through, and particularly there were two sisters who were at odds with each other. We sat with them and we thought everything was worked out in peace. Everything was okay. We talked with them. They were willing to forgive each other. We came to the communion morning and we felt very good about things, how they were. And I was up preaching. And I noticed that while I was preaching, there was some kind of a commotion going on outside. There was one of my fellow national pastors got up and he went out back, and I was wondering what was going on, and I couldn't see exactly what was happening. But these two sisters, the one sister requested to talk with the other sister because she just wanted to clear herself. And so when they met, the other one was, I guess, not in a good mood or spirit to receive it. And she became angry. And there was a dispute right on the church grounds on communion day. The one sister started to talk back to the other, and she became so angry, she kicked her. She literally kicked her. Can you imagine? Would you sisters kick each other at church? Here I was. We were ready for communion. Needless to say, we kept them from the communion table, and we had work to do. But you know what's happening so many times in our Mennonite circles, if I may say that? Those same attitudes and spirits are being buried deep inside our emotions. We wouldn't kick at each other in a literal sense. The other one took a hold of the other woman's dress up here and she ripped the dress. That's how bad it was. Can you imagine? These were church members. I love them people. And as I sorted through that thing, I just realized, you know, They blasted. Yes, they did. But I tell you, we had something to work from. I could go to those sisters and point to the scriptures about the love of Jesus. I could tell them about their behavior and how unbecoming and how non-Christian that is. And they could connect. They knew they did wrong. I didn't have to tell them they did wrong. They knew it. Now, I don't advocate that kind of behavior. But we blast or we bury. Yes, we do. We do. We blast or we bury. You cannot walk in the Spirit and have an unforgiving spirit at the same time. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love and unforgiveness cannot inhabit the same heart at the same time. How can someone claim that Christ is Lord of their life when there's unforgiveness in their heart? Can I claim victory when there's unforgiveness in my heart? Joseph is a young man of a great example for us. He was envied and hated by his brothers and thrown into the pit. He was sold to the Ishmaelites and then to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, as a slave. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Potiphar saw that and made him overseer over all his house and all that he put everything that he had into his hand. Joseph was a godly man and he was well favored. But Joseph was also lied about. Potiphar's wife enticed him and he said, "I cannot do this great wickedness against God." Day by day she spoke to him, and he refused. And there came a time when the house was empty, and his wife took a hold of him and wanted to entice him and cause him to fall. And Joseph fled and left the garment in her hand. And when she saw what she was left with, she reported to Potiphar, and she said, "Look what this young man, this Israelite boy has done. Here he came, he was going to do evil to me, and I have his coat." He was put into prison. He was rejected and thrown into prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. He was forgotten by the chief butler for 2 years. Joseph saw that the butler and the baker were sad. Wherefore, he asked them, "Why are ye so sad?" They needed interpretation of the dream, and Joseph interpreted. Joseph reminded him to remind Pharaoh that he's in prison, and he was forgotten. Every time that Joseph has done a good job, it seemed things turned on him. Things turned on him. Yet Joseph was willing to forgive. When somebody has done him wrong, people expressed him by hatred, by bitterness, resentment, lying, hostility, disloyalty, forgetfulness, ingratitude. That was the way that people expressed himself to Joseph. If there was ever a man who had any reason to have bitterness or unforgiveness, it would have been Joseph. That's the way people express themselves to him. And yet, he forgave. And the process of this in his experience was almost 20 years. It was a long time to have that kind of feeling from society. You know the story how that Joseph finally was pushed into position. His brethren came to Egypt for sustenance. And he revealed himself to his brethren. The brethren confessed what they have done years ago, not realizing they were talking to Joseph. And when Joseph revealed himself and he said, "I am Joseph, the one that you have sold," they became fearful. And as long as Jacob, their father, was yet alive, they somehow felt comfort. But when Jacob died, you know what his brothers did? His brothers came to Joseph and they said, "You know, Joseph, our father said that you should not requite to us the wrong we have done to you." In Genesis 50, in verse 15 to 20, we read about that. After their father was dead, Joseph's brethren were afraid. And in verse 17, Joseph said, "So shall ye," or this was what they said that their father said, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the Lord thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And this was Joseph's response, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is today, to save much people alive." What an attitude of forgiveness. Joseph released them completely. He didn't hold any grudge against them. He wasn't going to get even with them. He was willing to leave it and to release it right there, then and there. What a testimony of forgiveness. What a testimony of victory. Now this evening, I'm going to very quickly I would like to impress on our minds what happens in the process of our hearts and minds when someone has done me wrong and I'm not willing to properly deal with that problem in my heart. Now we're going to say that someone has wronged me. Whether it was intentional or unintentional, it doesn't matter. But someone has done me wrong and I know that I was wronged. Have you ever felt that way? I have. That I know someone has done me wrong. And when that happens in our experience, immediately there is some difficulty that goes with that. It's difficult to realize that someone has wronged me. And I have a choice to make to whether it's release that wrong that he has done, or I'm going to bury it or blast it. And so I'm going to say that it's very difficult in my experience. It's hard to accept. And so within my soul, I develop a grudge against that person. Sometimes this grudge is going to give a feeling of retaliation against that person. And even sometimes it's going to cause us to do something in hopes that that person is going to find some problem or trouble in life. And so we're going to suppose that this difficulty in my experience has been very difficult for me because of that wrong that was done against me. And I'm willing to bury that thing in my heart. And I'm going to try to seek some kind of retaliation. But you know, we're good enough in our lives that we realize that we cannot expose too much of my hurt. Or we're afraid that my life is going to be exposed. And so it's difficult. And finally, we deal with that difficulty and we recognize that, well, we want to just leave it. And so we detour the issue and we don't want to face it anymore. We just want to go around it and somehow we just want to leave it behind us. But yet, deep down inside, we have not released that hurt. And so while we detour that, while we try to get around it, in the process, in the innermost being of our heart, we're digging a hole. We're digging a hole. And we're putting that feeling, that hurt that we have experienced, we're putting it there. And in the process of digging a hole and trying to bury it, finally it comes to the place where we want to deny that it even happened to us. We want to just put it aside. We want to lay it aside. We really don't want to show it up. But you know, the moment that we try to bury something and we deny what's happening, the emotional base of our being still knows it's there. We have our emotions to deal with. Our innermost heart and soul is there. And as we deny this, and our spirits pick up to our denial of our life, and we know that we should clear this issue, we know that we have a problem, we experience defeat in our life. Your emotions know better, and because of that, we become defeated. The joy of our Christianity is waning out. And it seems every time we come to church, there's some kind of a feeling we're not finding the joy of the Lord and the presence of the Lord in our heart. And finally, we have buried this thing. We have put it behind us. And after a bit, we're even confused as to where is the joy of the Lord in my soul? What is happening to me? And as we're finding this defeat in our experience and we wonder, God, where are you? What are we to do? And defeat, according to the scriptures, if we're not going to live in victory in our life, if there is some hidden sin in our life, if there is something behind the scenes that other people don't know about, we're hiding this thing in our closet and we're not willing to confess and bring it to light, and to get it right. Defilement, it brings defilement. And when we are defiled in our heart and our spirit, it brings discouragement. Oh, there are many people discouraged in their Christian life, in their walk with the Lord, because they have some unforgiven heart towards someone or something. And it's there. It brings discouragement. And oh, many people, when they're in that state of discouragement, self-pity comes in. Self-justification comes in. Casting blame comes in. People begin to say it was this, it's that. And this brother done me wrong. He spoke evil of me. And you just put a wall around yourself. And nobody can touch you. You're discouraged. You're down and out. Discouragement brings desperation. Many, many people who face discouragement in their life, it's not a fun position to be in. They become desperate. Many people today, they will lose their Christianity completely at this point. There are some people who even have suicidal thoughts at this point because they are desperate. They don't know how to deal with what they're feeling inside. They don't know how to deal with what they're feeling. Now, we're going to say that at this stage, I'm at this position where I'm desperate, I want help, but I don't know how to help myself. I know that I had these people have hurt me, people have wronged me. And when I think of all these people who have done this wrong, I wish that they, I just want to get rid of it. But it's there. and I can't help myself. Now we're going to say that rather than taking the point of turning away from God or leaving the faith or even committing suicide, I'm going to discover my brotherhood or someone to help me. We're going to ask someone to help. And so we find someone that is willing to help and to listen. We open our heart and we're willing to deal with the issue. And when we open our heart and we deal with that problem, it brings deliverance through the blood of Jesus and there's cleansing. Now, what I want to say here this evening, we can go from the part of being wronged to the part of being delivered in one step. Sadly, too many of us are willing to go this long, dreary list because there's someone we don't want to release. Someone we don't want to release. We become miserable creatures. We don't have to be there. God made a way that we can go from being wronged to being delivered. I bless the Lord for that. Isaiah 61. Oh, it's such a beautiful few beautiful verses there. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now this prophecy written from Isaiah was a prophecy of Jesus. And in the New Testament, you will almost find the exact words when Jesus came to the synagogue. And there he stood up, and the Bible says that he opened the book in Isaiah and he spoke these words to the crowd, to the people there, and they marveled at his sayings. Jesus himself is that one. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, I'm so thankful for that chance and opportunity that he has given to us. Maybe you are like the bird in the cage. We used to have, at least in our house before we went to Kenya, someone has given us this cage and a bird that was outside the cage. The door was open. But you know, when we are living in the prison of our life, we have that bird inside the cage. And that bird is wanting out. It's wanting freedom. And so that bird is in and it's captured inside the cage. Sometimes it's happy. Sometimes it's chirping, and sometimes it has a good time. But then there are those times when it's going to be pecking at the bars that are keeping it in. This evening I want to present to you a picture that every one of us is living in a castle, and we have a bird cage as it was. And inside that, we have this bird that is inside our heart. Jesus said that I came to set the captives free, and he came to open the door to be released.
The door is open.
That bird does not have to stay captivated inside that pen. It can come out. It can be released. The problem, so many times we see that Jesus has made this opportunity. He is the one that can open the door, but we leave the bird inside. We're not willing, not ready. He came to set the captives free. Are we going to stay in our prison house, or are we going to seek release and deliverance? God wants to heal. God wants to help. We thank God for forgiveness. A God who is all good does not work in the life of his children with an evil purpose in mind. He is a good God with a good purpose who is going to work out a good cause and a good end result. That's our God. Are we living in our prison cell? You can be free. You can be free. You don't have to stay in your prison house. But you're going to remain in your prison house until you have forgiven the very last person who has done you wrong. You will remain in your prison house until you have sought forgiveness from God for your sin. A God who is all good does not work in the life of his children with an evil purpose in mind. He is a good God with a good purpose who is going to work out a good cause and a good end result. Do you believe that this evening? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, this evening we bow our hearts and our heads before you again, realizing that you know what is going on in the recesses of our life. You know what is happening even before we bring it to you. Lord, we also know that your Spirit is faithful to touch our lives where we know or where we are holding a grudge or bitterness or resentment against someone. Lord, our prayer is that each one can be set free, can be delivered from the prison house of unforgiveness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we can go from being wronged to be delivered only through Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find the grace to have a clean life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.